So nefarious, so nefarious. Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius, descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say. Pass him,
I'm gonna start the podcast soon. Oh, baby, won't you start the podcast? Oh, baby, won't you start it now? Baby, won't you start the podcast? So put it in airplane mode. Hey, everybody.
Surprise at all.
Not much of one.
So are we starting the podcast soon?
Yeah, I believe we're starting the podcast. Hey, thanks, everybody.
Hey, Tim's back.
Good to be back. Hey,
hey,
dude.
I'm back.
Come on. Good to see you.
Yeah. I missed last week. Sorry, guys.
I did. It's okay. welcome to the, did you guys call it a Cephala podcast last time?
We did. We found out that there was already a Cephala podcast.
So we're just going to call it that sort of for funsies. It's really still just going to be the Octavarius Live Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Octavarius.
Podcod or something like that?
Podcod. Yeah, except that didn't make any sense.
That's okay. Whatever.
Welcome to the Podcod. Whatever. This is episode 74 of the Podcod.
I like it every time I hear it.
Recording, though.
And without any further ado, let's start off at the far end of the room and sound off.
Makula.
OP.
Scott.
Gustavi.
Brian.
Tins.
Keith.
Mark.
Cloud.
And,
increasingly depressing.
First of all, before we get to anything, let me take the opportunity to thank everybody so far who's come out to see our run at Comedy Sport.
Yeah.
You are the best.
It's
awesome.
It's a huge, huge run for us. It's a real long run, and it means a lot to see so many faces out there, both old and new.
Yeah.
And, fuck!
What?
Oh,
ah,
okay.
That's a good sound.
Are you
good,
James?
Jesus. Where's that mailbag?
Oh, no. I have it right here.
Do you?
It's a new type of mailbag.
That is new.
Is the bag new or is the letter new?
Probably the most accurate.
The letter. Yeah, this is the good one.
It's MasterCard.
Hey, you got selected. You got pre-selected for the same MasterCard I did. They told me I was special.
That's so nice of them to include a podcast question in their MasterCard solicitation.
It's cool that MasterCard doesn't change.
Yeah, it's nice of them, you know, as a company to make that commitment.
We're good people.
It says, today's letter comes from Pat Riott, a VP of marketing at MasterCard. And Pat writes,
I get it.
You guys, I love, there's like eight O's, love America. It is like the greatest and best country ever of all times ever.
Very unprofessional letter.
Well, it's got, the solicitation part is on glossy paper. This was like a little post-it note he stuck to it.
Sure.
Okay. Because I think he must know. and it says, so it's like, I love America, it's the greatest country ever. Is that normal? Do you guys all love America that much? What about other countries? Do you love other countries? Do people in those countries love those countries? What is up with that? Also, Tins isn't special.
Oh. Wow. Do you guys consider yourselves patriots?
Oh, yeah. Definitely me.
I mean, sure.
America. Yeah.
I'm
not anti-American.
Yeah, I'm not anti-American.
Why but you gotta, you would
you're either with us or against us.
Well, I'm happy being American. Like, I'm Mexican-American.
So you're illegal.
No, I'm... Well, not that the government knows.
Not all of them, just LP.
It's just me. I'm the only illegal Mexican in America.
It's not being racist. You're just being a jerk. There's a difference.
Yeah.
But, like,
I
have the opposite thing where I don't like things that, like, classify me as Hispanic like all the time because I'm just a dude I'm just a dude.
Regular dude.
The first actual after Backhand Compliment, I think I was part of this group called Salsation. It was Latin sketch comedy. And it really annoyed me because, like, all, like, they were, I'd put or turn in a sketch or something, and they would be like, oh, that's great, but can you make it more Hispanic? Like, what? Okay, I guess, whatever. I don't know. So I guess in the same way, I don't like just being overly, like, American, because I'm just a dude. I'm just a man.
Yeah, we're all just dudes living in America.
I love the country I live in, though.
It's great. It's the best.
Yeah, I feel super American. High five, Matt. Yeah,
That's the worst high five. It recorded so shitty.
I didn't want to clap too hard in front of the fucking mic. Excuse me. I knew what you were
No, saying. It was good.
But I feel super American. A lot of people don't expect liberal comedians to be patriots. I don't feel like that's a thing people think about.
Do you think they expect us to be un-American?
I think some people would definitely classify a liberal comedian as un-American and unpatriotic. I feel like it's the opposite.
I don't find conservative comedians funny.
I don't find very many conservative comedians very funny either. But I don't doubt their patriotism.
Who's a conservative comedian?
Yeah, I'm not joking when I agree with Mark on that.
Dennis Miller.
Yeah, he's Dennis not funny. Miller is now a conservative comedian. He's not always a conservative comedian. But now he is. It's incredibly hard to be a conservative comedian.
Yeah, they don't have fun very often.
Larry the Cable Guy, but that's his act.
Yeah. He's a conservative.
You think he's not conservative?
No, he is.
Yeah, he totally is.
And he's a comedian.
He's definitely playing the market.
You know? Yeah.
I win, Cloud.
And you win.
Yeah, I do win.
I definitely, yeah. I don't find them very funny.
You know, another thing is I don't really look for I'm sure there are a bunch of conservative comedians. They're not very mainstream, though, but they have their audience. You know, like, I don't necessarily keep my eye out for conservative
comedians. It seems weird. Like, whenever I think of a conservative comedian, I think of a comedian who, like, their only bit, their only comedy is being conservative. Whereas I feel like most liberal, quote-unquote liberal comedians, they just happen to be liberal, and they just... They can experience the whole world as funny and not just a political standpoint.
A conservative comedian versus a liberal comedian because you're dealing with a crowd of a lot of different people, and if there's and they feel uncomfortable talking about any certain topic, and it, whereas like things that are like politically correct, people want to be like, gay rights, I'm on the surface right now, I agree, but. Actually, I don't agree, but I'm not going to boo the guy who's doing this.
There's been, like, so many instances of comedians, you know, getting into a fervor and then saying something, like, really awful. Like the whole Michael Richards thing.
It's a little different. It's just racist.
Yeah, that was...
That's not even about political.
That was just him being pissed off.
Well, guy. Like Tracy Morgan. Yeah, that was just like, recently.
Yeah, he said, I heard about that. He said something about gays.
He said that if his son was gay,
he would kill him.
And he called his son
the N word.
I think he called him the N word, and then he also called him the F word for gay people.
So it's like conservative views in general. Like it's harder to like really drive that and be funny. Like it's such a.
What about? Amy Sarah brought up. Producer Amy Sarah brought up Glenn Beck as a conservative.
Yeah,
comedian.
He considers himself a comic.
Really?
Yeah. He did a stand-up show.
Comedy tour, didn't he?
He did do a tour.
He did one of those Fathom events. Or you guys see the commercials for those where it's like
in movie theaters. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I just started recently going to the movies again, so I know what this is.
it was not good, trust me. It was a mistake.
Yeah, he's not funny.
It was Green Lantern.
It was just Green Lantern
big
all
mistake,
over.
Man.
That's out now.
That
also
was
not
big. I didn't even hear. No, that movie was hilarious.
So are you. But it is funny that there are like mock conservative comedians.
Do you guys have any conservative views at all?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know enough about the politics.
I believe in, you know, my country and the Constitution and all that stuff.
I don't think that's conservative.
But that's
though.
Not necessarily conservative.
I don't want women to vote. Is that conservative? Anyway, what else is in the news?
I think one of the worst things is that, like, throughout the last couple election cycles, I wish Chris Bogue were here because he would probably say more about this.
I'm glad he's not here. He's much funnier.
But I feel like one of the things that's happened is the people running on the Republican ticket have made an effort to make things like caring about America a conservative view.
Yeah.
And I think that that's ridiculous because there's tons of different ways to care about America. If you care about America and you think America is not doing the right thing, you would want America to change, which would not be something you would be conserving then.
Yeah. Yes. It is really weird how people are like, remember the American values, and like it's like, well, if we remember those, then we should be progressing and moving forward.
Yeah, what's that quote, like, the tree of change must be changed, or there's like a famous quote.
From time to time, the tree of life must be watered with the blood of patriots or something like that.
Liberty.
I like the
liberty
tree of change must be changed.
The liberty tree must be watered with the blood.
You should water your trees if you want liberty.
Use good soil with pH levels.
If you want trees, come down to Pete's Garden Shack.
Pete's Garden Shack.
Watch out for blood.
I can say that it does bother me that it seems like conservative folk have tried to own being patriotic.
Yeah, no, it's smart.
Smart. I mean, everybody should try and own being patriotic. It's awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But I think that's part of the problem with... That's one thing I would like to change, is that we end up fighting over, like... Like, we have this whole governing body supposed to be doing things and making laws or repealing laws or whatever they're doing to progress the country. And they wind up fighting over who's patriotic, and then that becomes like a thing, an issue, something that gets talked about, eating up time. And in reality, like that, just because it's more interesting and easier to understand than the actual problems.
Like I don't doubt that George W. Bush is a patriot. I believe that he is a patriotic man. I just disagree with his views.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he really cares about America, and he always acted with what he thought was right.
Mm-hmm.
I just really disagree with him, and I think that's okay.
I also think things get muddled in the, you know, the political machine. You might want to do one thing, but you know, because of the powers that be, you know, the corporations, people who are giving you money, backing you up, don't want it to be like that. You have to kind of tiptoe. You have to tiptoe a line of, you know, being PC is what I would mind.
That's why some of my favorite patriots are professional wrestlers, because they don't have to care.
Right.
They don't have
Kurt
to give
Angle.
A fuck. Kurt Angle was one of the greatest American wrestlers of all time. Just ridiculous.
Gold medalist for this country.
He won the gold medal in for actual wrestling in the Olympics in Atlanta in 1996. And his principles as a professional wrestler were intensity, integrity, and intelligence. The three I's. And he would talk about patriotism, and it was wonderful. And sometimes he was a bad guy, and sometimes he was a good guy. And
he was always a patriot.
But he was always a patriot. Mm-hmm. Always.
Sometimes when you're a patriot, you got to play the bad guy.
Sometimes a bad guy, always a patriot.
I think that's okay.
Yeah,
definitely.
Do you guys have anyone that like made you like really love America?
Rocky.
Bruce Springsteen.
The
I get more my grandfather. My grandfather moved here when he was like, I don't know, 16, and then he loved it so much. I think he only came here to get like some work with his uncle or something like that, mm-hmm. and he just loved it so much he would always find a way to stay in America. Like he's like, well, this is where I want to raise my kids. So then this is where he started his family, and he does go back to Mexico. He goes back to Juarez, Mexico every week, which is like the most dangerous place in the world.
When did your grandpa come to America?
I don't know the year.
Ballpark?
I don't know.
He didn't work at a ballpark.
My grandparents
worked
came
at a ballpark.
My grandparents came to America in 1955.
Okay, I assume it's around then, probably early 50s.
Mine too.
Oh, I wonder if they hung out.
Mine was like 1910s. Really.
Yeah. So I definitely have a lot of you know, American stuff in my life because my grandparents are immigrants.
Yeah, like yeah, my grandparents.
They're
yeah,
super well. Patriotic because yeah. they chose to be here. It's crazy, yeah. and I feel like immigrants are some of the most patriotic people.
It's like Craig Ferguson, this whole thing.
Oh yeah, his book, which you haven't read it, American by Choice, is great, and it's even better as a book on tape.
I think it's called American on Purpose. I'll bet you 50 cents.
You know what?
I can look it up.
If anyone's got
it,
I would love to borrow it from you. If not, I'll buy it.
I have the audio. I've got the audio book for it, and I'll see if it allows me to transfer it to multiple people. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because that sounds awesome.
It's very good. It's narrated by him. Very good.
Maybe right. Maybe it is American on Purpose.
He starts out every show with by saying, "It's a great day in America, mm-hmm. everybody." Or, "It's a great day for America."
Great day to be an American.
I think it's a great day in America.
America is
a great day
great
for
day
America.
To plant
I
a
like
tree.
America.
Water the America tree.
It sure is great American blood.
Please let me stay in America.
He starts out every show that way.
Very desperate.
Welcome to my major network television show. Please, you guys.
Keep the ratings up.
I mean, there are just so many things that we can do here that are just so wonderful.
Like have a podcast where we actually talk about America.
Yeah.
We can really swear and
we
stuff.
Say what we want.
Yeah, I can swear.
As an example of countries that don't have that sort of freedom, you can't visit Octavarius.com in China.
Yeah, China, we're banned.
You can't go on Facebook in China.
Yeah.
Or
probably
email
because
or, like,
Facebook
anything.
Has Octavarius on it.
Probably.
I remember that was like one of the first things that made me feel like we were for real when we were banned in China.
We reposted a YouTube video featuring the Dalai Lama.
So now we're like on some sort of master list in China, I assume.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We were mentioned in like a government born meeting.
Next order of business, Octavarius.com.
What does that
Wait,
mean?
Is that the speed metal band from Brazil?
No, you're thinking of the other Octavarius.
Is that Octavarius Jeff on Facebook?
No, this is Octavarius, the Chicago comedy group.
Wait,
fuck those guys!
It says they're nefarious.
I clicked through one of their Twitter links one time, got Will Smith points.
What even is that?
This wear your party hat video? It's obscene.
Castelvi, I like that you also know about Octavarius Jeff on Facebook. Because
yes,
I've seen him pop up from time to time.
Every time I put it in search, he's like the third one, Octavarius Jeff.
We should follow him.
Yeah,
I don't want to give him power.
I want to friend him, man.
Yeah, maybe he's got power that we need.
Yeah, he's
There's
got
Stefan Octavarius.
Maybe we
Gary.
Could eat him.
Yeah.
And gain his power.
Like, kind of like a really weird Highlander situation.
Like in Smash Bros.
Or like how you build a nation. You just keep eating states and becoming a nation.
Uh-huh. That's, oh.
I looked up American by Choice. It is a book and also an audio book, but it's not. It's not the one by Craig Ferguson. Oh, no.
Although it is by Alfredo Fuentes.
And I bet you he's another immigrant. I gotta tell you, immigrants just...
No,
there's
not
really
that
something. There's really something about people that come to this country and...
Wouldn't you say we're all immigrants?
No, I was born
Somewhere.
Here.
Yeah, I was born here too.
I was born in Berwyn.
Like, real deep down, though, right? Yeah.
Aren't we all, like, immigrants of the universe?
Yeah, man, right? Where we come from?
Dude, where would we all be if our ancestors didn't get on that boat?
Cuba.
Germany. I went there. It's in Stuttgart. It's beautiful.
Chihuahua.
I would probably be working on car parts.
I might not have existed, actually.
What?
Yeah. I totally would have existed. I would have been working at a convenience store, I think.
My dad is German and my mom is Italian, so I wouldn't have existed.
Yeah, I'm Polish Italian.
Actually, I don't think I would have either because I'm all like Eastern European satellite countries. It's like a
you're Eastern Promises.
Yes, in a way.
So you're like the movie Eastern Promises.
Yes,
that's awesome,
dude. I have some gripes with you, then.
I liked you.
Yeah,
that's the first time you've ever said that, Castelby.
That's true.
Thank you.
Have you guys ever gone to your homelands?
I can't.
Ever?
It's illegal. To Italy.
There are Americans that have gone to Cuba. You can find a way. Octavarius could be shown Cuba.
Let's do show in Cuba.
Shown Cuba?
Oh, yeah.
In Cuba.
Wait, Gustavo, you were born in Cuba?
No, my father was. My grandparents came to this country when Castro came to power.
Oh.
So they escaped Cuba through... A Rube Goldberg-esque series of ways to get into America.
Can you tell the story? Because that
kind of it's not as interesting. My grandmother's father owned like a cruise ship company, or was a part of a cruise ship company. Mm-hmm. And as soon as Castro was coming to power, they found a way to get a cruise to go to like Venezuela. And then from Venezuela, they stayed for a while and then went to Florida, where there was some family already in America. But it was most of the Castelvi family was my grandfather and his brother. My grandfather has like 15 brothers. And it was a couple of his brothers, and they went to Florida, lived there for a while, and then somehow got to Illinois doing God knows what. but it was a way. So my grandparents are very patriotic. In fact, when we did we were doing those conservatory shows, mm-hmm. and we did they came to a show, and remember we used to do the national anthem before every show. They're all tearing eyed the whole time we were doing that.
Love very pleased. Doing the anthem before
the
show.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I like it.
I don't think anyone gets it.
I don't think anyone gets it. But I totally I like doing it. And I like reminding people that it's okay to like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of my family.
Well, we should be proud where we're from.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's especially cool that we're doing it as a comedy group, and we're telling them it's okay, we're a comedy group, but you can be serious about this. You can just take a minute and say hey to your country.
Ever. It was always you always just sing it to the best you can. And
We had one opener once who thought it was a joke, basically, so they kind of were like goofing off during it, and
we killed them.
Everything, yeah,
murdered them on the spot.
They were told not to. They just didn't listen.
And what was interesting about it is people didn't like it. Like we weren't, because it's like, it's a comedy show, yeah, but like we can all take a minute, like Tin said, and just care about something together. It really brings everyone together.
It's kind of something, yeah. It's something that's kind of sacred to all of us Americans. Like, no matter what religion you are, it's still sacred to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Like we're all here.
Yeah, yeah. But of course, there are other countries on the planet,
and they all hate us.
And they all don't all hate
we've
us.
We've given them even the ones that like us, we sort of made them. Yeah. We sort of occupied them and said, "All right, we'll occupy you less if you're our friends." And they're I guess I'll take that over nothing.
I mean, like, England's cool with us.
We occupied them at some point, didn't we? Were we over there?
We were helping them.
England was our daddy.
When we were helping them fight, though, we took our troops and invaded the other...
We did help them in
Europe,
World War II.
Other European nations, and kept our troops there rather than the English troops there, even though they were... Mm-hmm.
We just did them a big solid.
So we just took over their enemies for them.
They had a lot of British troops there too. Actually, there was a bunch of. We just got to be the Allied commanders because we're awesome.
Boom.
Sometimes I get concerned when I look at like statistics for education. And I'm like, ooh, America's dropping. Like, other countries are smarter than us.
Oh, it's terrible. Our education system is terrible.
Yeah, especially math and science and stuff.
Yeah, America's getting filled with a lot of dum-dums. Yeah.
That's true. There's some things that are just, everyone accepts them as fact, and that's it. It's not an opinion.
Do you think it's because of, like, television and all these competition shows and stuff like that, or do you think it, like, what do you think
it comes from? I think
from?
It's a combination of everything. I think it's just
our culture in general.
More and more people speaking out against things that they firmly believe in, like, they don't believe in evolution, and they really don't believe it. And it just boggles my mind.
Did you see the,
Miss America?
Yeah, that was interesting. There was a video, listeners, online of all the contestants of Miss America answering the should evolution be taught in our public schools?
Really?
And they all answer it, and they, I mean, they all answer differently, but it's interesting to hear.
They all answer differently?
No, I mean, they all poorly word it, you know. But I'm just saying, like, I mean, some of them say you should, some say you shouldn't. And some are very religious, and some are, it's interesting to see their responses. You can find it somewhere. It should be easy to find.
When I originally went to college to major in English education, and I found this list one time, and it was of books that have been banned in libraries. Things like To Kill a Mockingbird, and when some libraries, some like high school, elementary school, and junior high libraries, were so extreme that Where's Waldo?
What?
Has been on some list because it had violence in there, like in the books. Like,
yeah. And his views on Vietnam.
Exactly.
Where was he? Where was
where
he?
Was where was he?
I'm just saying.
Where was he? Where is he? He's in America.
Does Waldo ever go to the moon? No, because he doesn't think it happened.
That is racist.
What?
It's moon
the
nuts.
Fuck?
Well, moon nuts.
The fuck?
You guys ever read Inherit the Wind in high school?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a play, actually, but it deals with the actual court
monkey
case.
Trial. Yeah, the Scopes Monkey Trial. Scopes.
I did a monologue for that. That was like one of my audition monologues.
Was it Rachel. The old dude? I don't know.
No, it's talking to Rachel.
Dude. I was
Willie.
That's the only monologue I remember.
No, it's where he's in jail because, you know, he taught evolution and he's talking to Rachel, the daughter of the judge.
The lady.
His girlfriend.
Love interest.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, he's the Bible and then he has, like, Darwin's,
Origin of Species.
Origin of Species. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he, like, pulls them together and it's, like, symbolic of you can believe both. They can be together. Maybe. It's okay.
Yeah.
I asked.
But in terms of teaching that in school?
In terms of teaching in school, I think that you should teach what is factual.
Which is?
Me personally,
Senator Minarelli, please.
Well, again, there's a separation of church and state. I think that you shouldn't bring religion and all that. I think that's a personal thing. You shouldn't bring that into education system. So I personally think evolution should be taught in science.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because a lot of super religious people, like, that is their fact. So it should be taught in schools because it's fact. That's what
they
God
only
says.
Know it is fact.
Could you?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Could you argue that science is a religion of a sort?
It is a religion based on facts.
It's a religion of truth, which is sort of unfair.
It has to be a universal religion.
There's a whole South Park.
You believe
thing
something,
about
this. Right?
Well, I guess depending on how you want to look at it, because everything we know in science, it's basically like we know it until it is proven wrong. Because our view of different parts of the world has changed over time, and it's like that monologue in Men in Black, you know.
All right, finally we're talking.
Now
which one?
You know, Tommy Lee Jones's monologue about how, you know, 5,000.
Where he's talking to the judge's daughter Rachel.
Yeah, and he says like 5,000 years ago we thought that Earth was the center of our solar system. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Joke.
Look it up on YouTube. I'm sure it's easy.
I want to get this out real quick. I asked, who is a true American in your eyes? I got Cassie B, Pillsbury Doughboy, Kylie McCleavy, Captain America.
Hang on one second. I met the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Explain.
What?
You mean?
What?
Joby Cerny.
Isn't he a cartoon
character? Joby Cerny, the voice of the Pillsbury Doughboy. Okay. Wonderful guy.
Does he sound like that normally?
No, he sounds like a man. But he can totally do that voice, and he does it awesome, because that's him. He is the Doughboy, and he's awesome.
Wow. He's from Chicago. He went to Northwestern.
He is from Chicago.
He has a book.
I recorded voiceovers for the Bible book on CD at his studio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I also got from our producer, Amy Sarah, Uncle Sam. And whereas Robert Knox wrote Brian Wolfe. So
yes.
Amy wrote Uncle Sam, but Robert wrote Brian.
Thank you.
See where the priorities are. Kyle,
God bless you, Robert.
Kyle then McLeavy wrote said this man, and it's Hulk Hogan. Yeah. He is. Sent me a video of Hulk Hogan on my Facebook.
Did you see when Seth Meyers did the president's what is the
White House correspondence dinner.
I wanted to say foreign press corps, but I realized they wouldn't invite foreigners there. Correspondence.
You were thinking of the Golden Globes.
It's America. It's America. No foreigners, please.
Thank you.
Isn't that what it says?
Bring us. You're tired and you're hungry, but leave them outside.
I think now it says no foreigners, please. I think that's
what they changed the Statue of Liberty to.
Yeah, it just says we're good.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Thanks, we're cool.
We're good. No, anyway, but at the correspondence dinner, Seth Meyers and also the president's comedy writers, who I'm assuming were just Seth Meyers writers, had for Obama's entrance, they played Hulk Hogan's theme song for when Obama was introduced.
With just an awesome video of American things.
And showing his birth certificate. the long form one.
One of my favorite video montages I've ever seen is, I think it was on like the Colbert Report, and they were talking about how other countries view America. And they played like a montage, and it was like George Bush, because this was back during the Bush presidency. It was like him walking with like a gun down an aircraft carrier, and then dropping bombs on a city, and then like people frying, like eating pork, and then like gambling and just lewd drinking and like strippers and stuff like
that. Wait, I want to go where lewd drinking is happening.
It's drinking, but it's like
it was
dirty.
This whole montage.
Yeah,
it was just it was like pouring it out. It was like frat party pouring it on your face kind of drinking.
Okay,
they had this music from they had like it was like the last movement. The music was just the last movement of Carmina Burana, which is this like just very epic, evil sounding music. And then Colbert was like, unfortunately, you know, for the Muslim world, they don't understand that we see America like this. And he played the exact same video montage with like a really upbeat America song. And it just looked awesome. Like everything looked so much fun, like gambling, having bacon, drinking, partying with strippers. It was just really amazing how just the music changed, but the exact same montage.
I guess that's really what it's saying, is that our music's better.
Exactly.
America, that's what it amounts to, really.
Like, it freaks me out that, like, a lot of countries, all they get from us is, like, Jersey Shore and shows like that, and, like, they think... They generalize, like, oh, that's what America's like.
Does Jersey Shore play in other countries?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, you gotta look for it.
Okay.
I mean,
most of the time they're not thinking about, like, the things that people in other countries are obsessing over and what we are obsessing over are completely different things.
Yeah.
And that's just based on, you know, the new stuff. One of our producers, mm-hmm. Carolyn, tells me all about it. Just how, like, things like, she'll call me like, did you hear about that shit in Syria? And we're like, no, I was watching South Park.
So it's
like, it's all over the news.
Yeah,
like, what?
Well, we're in a totally different time zone though too. So like, since we're
it didn't happen yet for us.
Between us and Syria, it's like a 12-hour time difference. So our news cycle is like fucking crazy. When news is happening really for Syria, we're in bed. Like, we don't want to deal with them while we're sleeping.
Also, so, like, we just don't have enough room in our news for, like, another country to care about.
Yeah, too many cats keep showing up in funny places.
Look,
so many cats.
You know, that's that's one thing that that a lot of people say about America, and a lot of people will say that about their own countries. You know, we don't have room for other people's news. All we have is, you know, all news about France, or all news about America, or all news about Canada. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that is a natural thing. We as humans should, and I'm sure the early humans, even the ones that we evolved from, were actually people that that were genetically predisposed to care more about things that are local to them, because, you know, that's what you're dealing with right now.
And they also didn't even, like, by the time they would get news from far away, it would be highly distorted.
If you were constantly caring about all the news in all of the world all the time, you would really not have very much time to do anything.
I did it. I actually did that. I cared about all the news from all around the world for
sure
a while.
I know, and I'm sure you had gobs and gobs of free time.
It was actually just really depressing.
Yeah.
Because I had a website for a while that would aggregate foreign news sources that printed in English, so that English people who could only speak English could read other countries' like perspectives on what was going on. But everyone else's perspectives were so sad.
You must have loved it.
Dude, he worked real hard on it. It was actually pretty good. You actually broke a news story once, didn't you? In America?
I think one time, yeah.
You broke a story in America.
But then, like, nobody read it because I don't even remember.
Because it was so sad.
I think it was... There was, like, there was two... I don't know if this is the one you were...
Forever.
Oh, God.
There was one... an artist in, like, somewhere in South America painted a picture of Barack Obama as Jesus. And I think we broke
that
one.
That was like a while ago, right?
Yeah. But like someone else, you know, minutes after we posted it, someone that had a much better site posted it. And so, you know, we didn't get any visits from that one.
This has been Mark's tale
of sorrow.
And jealousy.
And jealousy. Yeah. It was good.
I had a really cool cab conversation with a cab driver in Italy.
Oh.
And, like, I was talking about, like, oh, it's so cool, like, everything's so old world, and, you know, it's just fascinating us. And he was going on about, like, well, the people in Italy are fascinated with places like Chicago, New York, the skyscrapers. You're just going on about, like, how they've never seen skyscrapers. And it's something that's never occurred to me.
Yeah,
is, like,
skyscrapers rule.
I love like, skyscrapers.
The same way that, like, yeah, we're fascinated with, you know, all, like, Europe and the old world, like, they're fascinated with all this progress that's happening
well,
here.
Well, I think there is something very, very cool and very American about the skyscraper, especially if you consider how they were, like, the practices that were used to build them in the first place.
And it's also,
I think it's like
it's
building
weird.
A big dick out of the land.
Or, like,
it's weird when
your city
don't have them.
Yeah.
Like, when there was one time we were driving by Indianapolis, and I was laughing at their skyline, because it was like...
it's just, Indianapolis has nothing. It's like if there was a real city, and a giant toddler came down and just started plucking all the buildings up. Tried to find a better metaphor, but it didn't come by the time I was required to talk.
I thought that was pretty good. I got the imagery. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
there's a few left. Some seem pretty run down and broken, and they're not near each other necessarily.
Yeah, it's like the toddler's mom, while there were four or five buildings still left in the ground, the toddler's mom came and like, Jerry, what are you doing? Stop that! And took him away.
What defines a skyscraper? What is a skyscraper? Is that 40 floors, 50 floors?
There's definitely a number. I think it's like 50. Right. It actually, I mean, it might even be less than that.
I don't know.
It might
just
be like
used 15. To Chicago because our dicks are so big. And by dicks, I mean buildings and tall ones.
I think as a child, I originally envisioned a sky... It, like, a building was only considered a skyscraper if it was tall and it was pointy. Because that would be the only way...
So if it's too wide...
Well, it was like, in my mind, the only way that it could actually scrape the sky, as it were, was if it was super pointy.
Nice shape.
I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah. I used to think when I was little, like, you know, when the like super small and fast planes go by, they leave the, like, the white trail like of jet exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like three. four. Come on, give me a break. Huh?
I didn't say anything, man. Nick, I didn't say anything.
I know, he's just aware of how stupid it is.
Okay, you get a break.
The antennas of the skyscraper scraping the sky was like the jet exhaust.
You're an idiot.
I was three, Castelvi.
You know in the musical Oklahoma, they have the song about Kansas City? And the song is like, everything's up to date in Kansas City. They've gone about as far as you can go. And I always loved that. Like, even as a child. Because, like, it was written, you know, well after the time period that it takes place in. But one of the lines is like, they went and built a skyscraper 7 stories high. They've gone about as far as you can go.
Oh.
Well, and I loved that they would come back and say that. They're like, that's it, guys. We reached the pinnacle of city building.
We did it.
I'm on Wikipedia, and I'm reading about skyscrapers.
What do they say about them being pointy?
Is there a pointiness section?
It says that there is no official definition of height that classifies anything as a skyscraper.
But come on, you're going to know.
But come on. We know what we're talking about.
If someone says, whip out your skyscraper, and it's not very big, you know, then you're going to get judged.
They say usually, typically about 260 feet tall.
How many floors is put that in human floors?
That's only like 25.
I put
floors
it in feet and metric tins.
What about human floors?
Most floors are about 8 feet.
Okay.
Floors like 12 or 15.
39 floors.
Yeah, they're 12 feet because you have to get insulation between each one.
Okay, so 12.
I want to see a building that's 39 floors but is only 260 feet high.
Just blew my mind.
Do you know how small those rooms would be? Do you know how small the elevator would be? It would be uncomfortable.
Okay,
Chicago's got a lot of skyscrapers. If
one elevator was going up that building at 5 miles per hour, and then another elevator was coming down that building, there's a story problem.
Did you just blow your own mind? Because I can still answer it.
Oh yeah.
They both go somewhere. There's your answer.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And that scene from Speed probably takes place in one of them.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy about elevators and like skyscrapers is they fucking fly.
Yeah.
They're the fastest.
Yeah.
It's the fastest mode of up transportation you'll ever experience.
Especially when they, if you're on car 13 at in a certain building in the loop, and that car drops 5 floors, like it did when I was in it like 2 weeks ago.
What? Like Tower of Terror stuff?
Kind of.
Except the terror's real.
This time.
How many ghosts did you see?
What?
Did you think you were going to die while it was dropping? Like,
kind of. Okay.
Were you thinking of your country?
I was holding my coffee and I just had a burger and I was thinking like, I'm talking to this girl.
You are an American.
You had just finished really treating yourself to a good healthy meal.
Coffee and a burger. That's
well,
American.
I had a burger and I went to Starbucks and I was taking the elevator downstairs to go have a cigarette.
This guy likes his burgers.
Yeah, I do.
He's an American.
Thank you.
We do. Burgers and coffee.
And a cigarette.
That is so American. Tobacco, hey.
And I sent this email like a month ago being like, beware of car 13, don't get in it. It's been having troubles.
Wait, it's an unlucky number.
They couldn't just shut down that elevator.
That's what I thought, but that was
a month
ago.
They said, beware?
Yeah, that's what the email said.
They gave you a chance.
Wear it. Or
they gave you a choice. It's like, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
But
today.
That was like, it was 2 weeks ago, so it was 2 weeks after the email was sent. I'm like, they would have fixed it, right?
They would have shut down this elevator if there was a chance I could plummet to my death, yeah, right?
Fuck this, man. This burger and cigarette aren't going to respectively eat and smoke themselves.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
So I get in it, and, like, it goes down, like, one floor as a couple other people get it. So it's, like, 10 people on this elevator. And then, like, we hit L for lobby, and it goes down, goes back up, like, 4 floors, and then just drops 5.
Oh, my gosh. That's so
and, like, really fast. Like, it wasn't, like, it was like, free fall, but it was still glided, but it was still going really fast. And all of us just kind of, like, didn't think it was happening.
Oh, my gosh.
And then it slowed down, and then, like, the 10 of us in the elevator were like, that just happened?
What?
We almost, and then none of us talked, and then we were stuck there for, like, an hour. We were just like, this is really weird.
You were trapped in an elevator?
Yeah.
I
told you this, didn't I?
Did you meet the love of your life or anything?
Were you haunted?
Was well, there a demon in the elevator?
Yeah,
the movie
was,
Devil?
Really
What's
annoying.
The movie Devil?
There was this really annoying like lawyer there who was really impatient and trying to make jokes. So
oh,
like,
he would have been the first to die.
Because we had to hit the intercom button to be like, hey, we're stuck in car 13.
That button works.
Car 13?
And then the old man at the other end, oh, I sent out an email saying not to get on that one.
Yeah, you did read the email, didn't you?
This is on your hands, not mine.
Later.
I've got a burger to eat here, so call me in
you
a
were
few minutes.
On there for, did you talk to anybody for an hour? Any of the 10 people?
Yeah, well, some of them I work with, so we were talking, we were like, God, this sucks. So all of us actually went out to go have a cigarette. Yeah. And we were like, God, this really sucks.
What time of day was it?
It was like 3:30.
Oh, that's when everybody gets cranky because they want a nap.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Was when you got back, were people like, Nick, where were you?
They're kind of like, what happened? And then all I was like, just don't go on car 13. And they're like,
yeah, we know. We got the email.
Yeah, like, they were selling email. I'm like,
dude,
well,
that's
I thought it was
haunted.
Wait, are you not a reader?
Wait, did you go on that, idiot?
Did you put on the seatbelt when you sat down?
Should have.
Did you
even take my picture.
Ghosts?
It was scary.
There was a hotel that I stayed at once in Wisconsin that they warned us that the hotel was haunted, and specifically the floor that we were on was haunted, and the elevator had
what?
Trouble. Yeah, I know, right? No, not
before
not,
you went in?
The hotel people didn't say, like, oh, by the way. It's just that the
oh,
neighboring
by the
school
way.
People
okay.
And our contact, the person we met at the school, she said she had stayed there on that floor, and there was, like, a fire alarm one night, but only went off in two of their rooms, and there was no, and on the, or on that whole floor, rather, the spooky floor. And it didn't, and so there were only two people in those on that floor, and they both went outside and downstairs. But it didn't go off on any other floor, and there was no record of it being sent to the firehouse. But they got, and it was going off the entire time. Apparently, she said, like the whole night, it just kept going off every hour,
Ooh.
And they had no record of it in the lobby. It wasn't reading on the lobby. But we stayed on that floor too.
So
and,
good luck,
right? And we were on that floor too, and the elevator, like, got to that floor. Just didn't open the doors.
Whoa.
It knew
like,
what was up.
Until like, we, like, hit door... We had to actually manually hit door open
yeah.
for them to open.
That's
like,
cool.
They didn't open
it.
On their own. We
this
had,
is for
we
your own
waited.
Good, Keith.
We just waited, and like, is it just not going to
so
open?
Bizarre.
And we hit this, like, floor 6 again, whatever floor it was, and it still didn't open. Like, oh, you can try door open. You think that'll work? And it did. But we were significantly spooked.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I've found lately is that I've been becoming more patriotic, I guess, but I've also been becoming more Chicago patriotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing is you can be like we can be proud to be a Chicagoan, proud to be an Illinoisan, and proud to be an American.
Like I think corruption is cute because I'm from here.
Oh, speaking of Blagojevich,
we got him.
We got him.
So sad. This whole thing is just so sad. I hate it. I think everybody loses in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
But mostly awful. Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah, mostly Rod.
No, I think his little girls lose the most. Because their dad's a fucking idiot, and just you know, he's just a fucking idiot.
He's also just like sad now. Like,
well,
he's not
because he's just an idiot. He really has proved himself to just be an idiot.
At least he got like 4 commercials in before he got sent
off
to jail.
Yeah,
good run.
God, that'll run out.
Yeah, he's gonna get all that money.
He's probably
gonna
die in jail.
Wait, what did he do commercials
for? He said he was facing 300 years.
Yeah, he could possibly get 300 years
so
in jail.
So he might die in jail.
Well, we don't know that.
Could be anything,
Tim.
Well, on good behavior, they'll let him out at 180.
He's going to at least do 92% of those 300 years, so.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's crazy.
Wow.
At least he got to be on a TV show.
It's just awful, and it hurts because I want to like love being an Illinoisan, but it's stuff like
so
that that makes you embarrassed.
Yeah.
But even for a lot of the Chicago's not a perfect town, but God,
I think there are many
love being from Chicago.
There are many
reasons.
Right.
Right.
I fucking love Chicago.
It's way better than Minneapolis or Indianapolis.
Yeah,
all
sure.
those Appalaces.
Bismarck,
fuck that place, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun.
It's like
Chicago.
I whenever I drive or I'm in the car when we drive down like Lakeshore, especially at night, if you're going north
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or south.
coming both from the south on 90 and you see the skyline.
That's my favorite.
That's a beautiful one too.
I always say like the trip up north going on Lakeshore, I always say is like the perfect first view for a tourist.
One of my favorite things to do is get a taxi cab from south side and go north on Lakeshore to where we live.
Totally expensive.
It is expensive, but God, it's just such a beautiful sight at night.
Why don't you just take your car?
There was a time I was
touring. Because then I got to look at the road. I want to look at the skyline.
It was a time we were touring, and I had been out on the week for on the road for 2 weeks, and I was set to be out on the road for like two more weeks, but we had to take 90 past Chicago. And it was a beautiful day, so I just got to look at the skyline of where I very much wanted to be and just watch it approach and then disappear. I was so sad. I was so like, oh.
And I just, I so love, sad. So it's not just the skyline and the architecture. It's also just the culture and, the museums are amazing. Like, I'm just so proud to live in a city with such beautiful museums.
Yeah.
Best Impressionism collection.
Oh,
yeah, all the museums fucking
and the new modern wing kicks ass.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Field, the Museum of Natural History. And then, the Museum of Science and Industry, which is one of the last remaining buildings from the World's Fair.
That's right.
So awesome. You get to touch history that way, too.
And, like, our food is awesome, and all our friends are here.
Public transit, so
transit
awesome.
Works
dude,
well.
And the layout, okay. Can I just talk about the Burnham
Plan? Here we go.
Can we for once?
Thank God.
Because
we
just spent some time in L.A.
Just say, yo, Daniel Burnham. God, what a fucking plan. That grid plan is amazing. Did you know, in Chicago, that you can almost never be lost if you know the grid plan?
It's so great.
I
if not, fuck you.
No matter how many uncertainties I may be facing in my day in Chicago, as long as I know the grid plan, at least I know where I fucking am.
Like the only,
that's all I got.
The only streets that will ever possibly give you trouble are like Lincoln and Clark and
Clyburn.
Yeah, there's like five accident streets and everything else is great.
Yeah, but those streets actually sometimes help if you're trying to go on an angle.
Yeah, Milwaukee's awesome.
Curt angle.
Yeah.
A curt.
So I brought that back.
But yeah, oh, it's so like hard not to be crazy Chicago patriotic.
Well, the weather's not so great.
It's kind of
I think that's, I hear that, like I've talked to so many people who visit and they're like, I would love to live here, but fuck winter.
Yeah.
I feel like it seasons you more. It makes you more well-rounded.
I'm
pretty rounded now.
At the same time, I feel like those are excuses because we don't want to believe that Chicago could possibly suck at any time.
I would like to think the winters make us appreciate the warm weather more when it finally comes. And that's my excuse.
I'm sick and tired of you, man.
I like having seasons.
Yeah, I actually enjoy winter time.
Tennessee has seasons too, but they don't last so depressingly long.
Yeah, I guess
winter is coming.
Yeah, I like to say I look forward to winter coming like by the end of August, but then I get 3 days into winter, I'm like, oh, that's right, that's what this is like. Fuck this.
It was
awful.
February is when it gets me because like December is fun because there's so many like holiday things and there's so many like lights out. Like,
February is when it's supposed to be done. You know, it's you always think it's supposed to end in February and it never does.
It doesn't because that's really the like. The last full month of it.
Yeah,
is
and
February.
Then it doesn't. Well, sometimes it lasts.
And then you have
March. We get that blizzard in March.
Lousy smarch weather.
Yeah,
lousy smarch weather indeed.
When it's terrible in March, it's like that's depressing. And then April, because it's my birthday, like it gets cold.
Yeah, it's still cold and it rains like a bastard in April. Happy birthday, LP and Tins.
There's a lot of rain. Yeah,
but right now is the best because it's like light out until 9.
Yeah.
Don't you love that? You get to.
This time it's like it's good weather for everyone. For everyone in the country, everybody gets to enjoy awesome weather. Yeah. It's great.
One thing that like I went on vacation to Costa Rica, And it, I got really annoyed at Costa Rica daily because...
On your vacation. Got annoyed.
Proportionally annoyed. Okay. Because it's on the equator. The sun goes down every day between 5:30 and 6. With the weather, it was like similar to like June or July here. So I was like, awesome. I was expecting like 9 o'clock, 9:30. You're still out, but like, boom, 6 o'clock hits. It is pitch black.
When does the sun rise?
12 hours before that.
Why don't you just get up earlier,
dude? That shit's hard. Actually, we did get up earlier, but there's a lot to do. So you know, we wanted to live it up at night as well.
But okay,
because we'd get up like as the sun was coming up, like 5:36, to be on various things at like 7:50.
Yeah.
On vacation.
Well, dude, if you want to go to the volcano, you got to get up at 7.
Volcano will be there.
It's not going anywhere.
I'll get there at noon.
Bus Maybe. Leaves at 7:50, man.
Take a bike or something.
Yeah,
it's a 3.5 hour bus ride.
Shit, why go?
Good point.
It's a big hot rock I'm going to have to stand near, but not get cool close to.
Mark, our producer Amy in the live stream chat room right now is asking you, are there no lights in Costa Rica?
Where we were was like a resort thing, but it had all these little like bungalows. And each one would have, like, one or two lights. And part of their instructions were, bring a flashlight or two for snakes.
Mark, you hate snakes.
Believe me, I know.
Good luck.
That's great.
And only you would vacation in a snake pit.
And I saw a snake. It was terrifying.
Else who didn't know this is like me. A bungalow is a type of house.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I just had no idea. I was like, what the fuck is a bungalow?
You know,
it's a type of house.
If I had to...
Originated from India.
You know, Castelvi, if I had an agonizing trip on a vacation full of no electricity and two-hour days, I would want to come back to the U.S. of A., and I'd want to play a great American relaxing sport.
Great
American sport of golf. But I haven't played in a while. So somebody in this room might need to tell me something about golf.
Oh. It just so happens that I have so much knowledge about golf
that it must be time for
Cloud's Golf Tips.
It's good.
Make sure when you hire a caddy to put it in their contract to wear a suit made of mirrors. That way, you can distract your opponent.
This has been
Cloud's Golf Tips.
And they're off.
Backstroke.
I think most of these tips are about just informing your caddy that they have to do something.
Why don't you just wear the mirror suit? Why does your caddy have to?
You have to look classy.
You get real hot then.
Oh my god.
Mirror suits are pretty warm.
Well, folks, it looks like we're just about running out of time here on this podcast.
We should thank our sponsor this week as well.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Uncle Fun on Belmont. They are awesome. They're at, like, Belmont and South... Or, wait.
Yes, Belmont
and Southport. They're so good. They have all this fun stuff, and if you are in Chicago, you should check it out.
Exact address is 1338 West Belmont Avenue.
And you should plug that into your phone, map it, and go there.
If you're looking for things that are fun.
Yeah, if you're curious about some of the fun nonsense that they have, just go to www.unclefunchicago.com and check them out.
You've seen Luchador Labs, the Luchador masks used in that are from Uncle Fun.
A lot of the stuff we use for our sketches and shows comes from Uncle Fun. They are awesome.
Lonely, Uncle 773-477-8223. Uncle Fun.
Fun.
And with that being said, now we're just about out of time with this podcast. But before we go, it's time for Nick Mikula's Seven Words of Wisdom.
Gone. I have woken from my slumber to tell.
This has been Nick Nikoulas. Seven words of wisdom. And he knows he's not going to just do seven words. Yeah. He's going to try and eke it out more.
Did you start something last week? You started a sentence and then stopped.
Yeah, no, that was the ending of it, right?
Well, it doesn't matter. It never matters to the man.
It ended up being great because James Chase got to the chat room and this podcast seconds before that, and that's all he will get.
Oh, hey, James. Thanks for tuning in anyway. And with that, we got to let you go. Keep showing up to our Sunday shows at Comedy Sports at 7 p.m.
James is cursing a blue streak.
Very exciting. What time do you think we do this?
Oh, boy. And until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye, James.
Go run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.
James was saying,
I am a living American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.